here on BBC Radio 3, broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's 11:45, time now for Jazz Lineup with Claire Martin.
Hello. On today's programme, I'll feature an interview with one of the world's most inventive jazz vocalists, Grammy-nominated Norma Winston, who's celebrating the release of her new recording out on the ECM record label this week. Plus, I've got the pick of the best new releases featuring the cream of the jazz scene from the UK and beyond. But to kick us off, let's hear something from the multi-talented Alan Barnes. Pianist John Donaldson transcribed hard bop pianist composer Horace Silver's compositions for the CD Yeah. Let's have a listen to Horoscope.
Thank you.
saxophonist Alan Barnes with the Horace Silver track Horoscope from his CD of all Silver compositions called Yeah. Joining Alan were John Donaldson on piano, Dave Green on bass, Steve Brown on drums and Steve Waterman on trumpet. And Alan will be playing at the Bude Jazz Festival in Cornwall on the 30th and 31st of August. The festival got into full swing on the 28th of this month and continues to run until September the 3rd. You can also catch Alan on September the 7th at St Ives Jazz Club and on the 13th of October with Ken Poplawski at the Concord Club in Eastleigh. Bassist, vocalist and composer Esperanza Spalding trained first as a classical musician, and her new album is inspired by those early days as she weaves elements of jazz trio and voice with classical chamber music traditions. Chamber Music Society teams her up with drummer Terry Lynn Carrington and pianist Leo Genovese, alongside the violin talents of Enchto Todorov and Louis Martin on viola. David Egger is on cello and Quintetto Sinali plays percussion. On this track, they're joined by vocalist Gretchen Pilato, and it's In a Till Persegum.
Percebe nas flores que nascem pelo caminho.
Taken from the new offering from Esperanza Spalding, which is released on Heads Up Records on August the 30th. And that was the track In Hotel Paisagam from the CD Chamber Music Society and featured the voice of Gretchen Pallato. Spalding says she is confident that this music will touch people. So you can go and hear and see if she actually does indeed reach out and touch you at the Queen Elizabeth Hall in London on the 13th of November as part of the London Jazz Festival this year. Well, stay tuned for more inventive vocalising while I'll be interviewing the legendary Norma Winston coming up later in the programme. We're staying with bass themes, something from one of the most important musicians of our time. His debut CD often hailed as one of the most auspicious of the past quarter century. And here's why. The genius of Jaco Pastorius with Kuru Speak Like a Child from his debut CD, simply entitled Jaco Pastorius, with Herbie Hancock on the piano. And also on that record, of course, Wayne Shorter playing saxophone, David Sambor, Michael Brecker, Randy Brecker, Hubert Laws. I mean, a whole host of jazz greats. Jaco Pastorius, the one and only. Glasgow-born drummer and composer Jim White releases his debut CD with his collaborative outfit Sonic Butterfly, featuring a host of stars from the UK jazz community. From the recording, let's hear Tomorrow's King, featuring Stan Saltzman on sax, Mike Outram's playing guitar, Thad Kelly's on the bass, Errol Roberts on drums, and Jim's on piano and voice. Taken from his debut album Sonic Butterfly, that was Jim White playing and singing his own composition, Tomorrow's King. And you can see Jim play at the Brunswick in Hove in East Sussex on the 5th of November. He's playing the Stenning Jazz Club at Stenning in West Sussex, the Eagle in Kent on the 7th of November, and on the 18th of November he's up in Leeds at the Wardrobe. Martin Drew, the world-class British drummer who worked for Ronnie Scott for 2 decades and Oscar Peterson for 3, very sadly died on July the 29th of a sudden heart attack. He was 66 years old and one of the UK's most internationally renowned jazz musicians who enjoyed a full and glittering career, backing countless stars at Ronnie Scott's, including Ella Fitzgerald, Dizzy Gillespie, Chet Baker, Dexter Gordon and many, many others. His long association with the Oscar Peterson trio gave him immense personal pride and he was a devoted member of the band. Jazz Lineup has an unbroadcast concert set of Martin which will be airing over the next coming months. Meanwhile, here he is on the CD, a tribute to Ronnie Scott, and excuse me, do I know you? We'll be right back. Martin Drew playing drums on Pat Crumley's composition Excuse Me, Do I Know You? With John Critchison on piano, Leon Clayton on double bass and Pat Crumley on tenor saxophone, taken from the CD, A Tribute to Ronnie Scott, recorded back in 1998. Martin Drew, who sadly passed away last month, was a real character on the scene, and nobody played a more meaner medium tempo swing than Martin. A love and sympathy to his family, especially to his devoted wife, Tess. This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, with me, Claire Martin, on FM, online and on DAB digital radio. Coming up shortly, I'll be interviewing vocalist Norma Winston, who celebrates her latest recording released on the iconic ECM label. Stories to Tell is the second ECM album for the British, German, Italian trio that made the Grammy-nominated Distances, with Norma, of course, on vocals, Glauco Vinier on piano and Klaus Gasing on bass clarinet and soprano saxophone. But from the album, here's the evocative opening track, Just Sometimes.
Just sometimes I catch a glimpse of something in a stranger. You're always somewhere near, but I can't reach you. Somewhere the sunlight warms the air around you. Just sometimes I wish that I was there to hear the things you're saying and hear your laughter in every changing season. It's only now in dreams I ever see your face. Just sometimes, as I lie awake and stare into the darkness, I hear a distant train that's going somewhere. Maybe you're there with someone else beside you. And all bells sounding the passing of each hour, and in the dark times when your past comes back to haunt you, I wonder, do you ever think about me? I miss you. To the past is opened, I realize sometimes just how I miss you. Thank you. stare into the darkness and hear a distant train that's going somewhere. Maybe you're there with someone else beside you. And always a church bell sounds the passing of each hour. And in the dark times when your past comes back to haunt you, I wonder, do you ever think about me? I miss you. Although I've made another life without you, each time a window to the past is opened, I realize sometimes just how I miss you.
Norma Winston with Just Sometimes from the album Stories Yet to Tell. And I'm very pleased to say and welcome Norma Winston to Jazz Lineup. Hello, Norma.
Hi, Claire.
Congratulations, first of all, on such a brilliant record. The opening track, and we were just talking about that you did that in one take and exploring a much deeper sort of tone to your voice there, a lower key perhaps than usual.
Yes, that was mainly because we weren't actually going to record this song for various reasons. I didn't know whether there were already English lyrics, and I heard it in Spanish, and there were loads and loads of lyrics and lots of syllables, and each time you heard a bit of the melody, it was a bit different. And I thought, well, given that I don't know, you know, if there are any English lyrics, we'll forget it. And then on the recording session, Manfred Eicher said, have you got anything like Distance? That was a song that was on the last album, and it said something heavy. I knew what he meant, really, emotional. And I said, well, there is this piece, but we weren't going to do it. And he said, I want to hear it. Glauco played it. He said, yeah, we have to do that. And I didn't have any words, so I had to run back to the hotel that night.
Dig deep.
But it just, you know, after a bit of work.
But one take.
Yeah.
Well, you've had quite a long relationship with ECM, I mean, going back to 1977.
Yes, with Azimuth.
Yeah, and then a bit of a lull and then back with them. I mean, what are they like as a company? Do you think that you do get more freedom with them than you would perhaps another record label simply because they're so open?
Everything is really about the music and his instinct for what actually works. I mean, he chooses the order and he said, you know, he likes to start with something which he knows people will want to hear again. You see, something I think a lot of us don't think about. We're too busy listening to ourselves and thinking, oh, this wasn't quite right. And you don't sometimes see the overall picture.
He's a true producer then. I mean, he really does produce it.
I don't think, I mean, there are lots of people who call themselves producers. I think it's wonderful to have an outside ear, but obviously somebody that you trust.
Yes. Well, yeah, you can trust him. So let's talk about the two musicians. I mean, Glauco Vigneault on piano and Klaus Gesing on the bass clarinet, soprano saxophone. You've got an Italian and a German and English. I mean, it must be much fun on the road. I mean, how does that work? How did you meet them, first of all?
Well, they asked me via an agent if I'd go and sing with them. They had a duo. First of all, I said no because I didn't know them. Or in actual fact, I did know Glauco. I didn't realise who he was, though, when I was asked to work with these two musicians. I'd been on a recording session in Italy that he was on. And so as soon as I knew it was him, I thought, oh, well, yeah, it'll be good. As long as they play what I want. I didn't want to go and do their music.
Yeah, fair enough.
So they agreed to that. And as soon as I played with them, I mean, they played everything that I wanted. They knew a lot of the things anyway because they'd heard the albums, they were Azimuth fans. And
You had a great common denominator. I mean, and also that whole thing of playing with, you know, piano and saxophone you've done before. I mean, it's quite a... Because it's very Spartan. There's lots of space, isn't there? There's lots of...
Yes.
It doesn't sound like that on a record. It sounds rich and full, and I'm not missing anything.
No, well, I think you've got the extremes with bass clarinet and soprano. Mm,
exactly, yes.
You've got something that can... The bass clarinet can fill that sort of...
Oh, it's brilliant. Such
bottom area.
Stuff. And he's very rhythmical as well, isn't he?
Yeah.
He can do some nice little sort of...
And it saves Glauco always having to be... the drummer as well as the piano player.
I want to talk to you at length about your lyrics. 8 of these 12 songs are penned by you, but let's hear some music and something that you co-wrote. It's an Armenian cradle song. Tell us a bit about that.
I just got a vision of a room with a baby. It could have helped that I'd become a grandmother that year when I was writing those lyrics, and I'd been doing a bit of babysitting.
Yes, and you did. Oh, that's beautiful.
So those words came out. And so I called it a cradle song because I thought it sounded a bit more interesting than lullaby. And then I just decided that it could have a few words.
Well, let's listen to it now from Stories Yet to Tell. This is Cradle Song.
Heavy sea sand and sorrow,
What a brief, what a brief, today and tomorrow. What a frail, spring blossoms and youth. What a deep, the ocean and truth.
The very beautiful Cradle Song from Stories Yet to Tell, and I'm talking to Norma Winston. Norma, working with Klaus and Glauco in the studio, I mean, what were they good fun? Because some of this material is quite, you know, I'm not saying it's dark, but it's heavy. I mean, what's the vibe like with them?
Oh, there's lots of humour. You may not really think that from listening to...
No.
But, I mean, we've got to, haven't we?
Keep it light.
Yes, we have to have a laugh. And we do. They've got good sense of humour.
And do you set it up in the studio where you're all in one room so you see each other?
No. In that particular studio, we were in different rooms, but we could all see each other, you know, through the windows. The most difficult thing, I think, is choosing which tune to start with. Because if it works well, then you're off to a good start. Yeah. If it doesn't, then you feel you're getting nowhere.
Yeah.
But no, they're great to work with in all circumstances, really.
Let's talk about, we touched on earlier about your lyric writing. You're such a prolific lyric writer, especially, you know, the last few years. You're churning them out, really, aren't you?
I am, yeah.
And almost to the point where some of your older material is almost like standard material, like Ladies and Mercedes. There's loads and loads of jazz singers doing that. You paint such beautiful pictures with your lyrics. Let's talk about Goddess, the track that you've written, the Wayne Shorter track that you've written. That's beautiful images of this beautiful huntress, the hounds gathered at her side. Mm. I mean, you can really visualise your words. I really get that as a listener and as a singer. It's very good.
Well,
it's really poetry.
Yes, I love to hear words. If someone's singing words, I really want to hear them. Mm. And if I'm singing them, I want them to be heard. I want them to add something to the music rather than just be
alongside,
attached to the music
because
they fit.
Mm.
I'd rather hope that they make the music into a different piece somehow. But with that one, originally it was called Diana. It was from Native Dancer, an album that he made in the 70s, I think, Wayne Shorter, with Milton Nascimento. Mm. And I always loved this tune. And then a few years ago, I did a project with Robert Mitchell with Shorter Stories. So I chose various pieces of his to write music to. And this was one that I just felt was particularly successful. I mean, you know, I don't always feel that pleased with the lyrics, but I feel pleased with these. But I started, obviously, with the title Diana. And I thought, Diana, she's the moon goddess, the huntress. And I was thinking of Orion is the hunter. You know, outside my house, usually in the winter, I look straight up and I can see Orion,
Orion's,
the constellation.
Yes, yeah.
And there's the dog star, which is, if you go down from the dagger that's hanging from his belt, down to the left, is Sirius, the brightest star, I think, in the heaven, and that's the dog star. And it just made me start thinking about, you know, the fact that she would have hounds if she was
I love that
huntress.
Lyric. What a romantic life you lead, looking at the stars, writing music. I really like this album. I think it's fantastic.
Thanks.
And it's lovely to see you. And we're going to play Goddess from Stories Yet to Tell. Good luck with this album. Thanks, Norma Winston.
Thanks, Claire.
At her side, under the dog star, all are still resting before the kill. Beautiful huntress, she's out on a limb. Oh, who will decide? Is she mortal, or is she really divine? Who knows? Hunter or hunted, she'll follow her pagan sign. Under the gaze of the gods, the odds she knows. Chill now the wind that blows. She's out on a limb. Oh, who will decide? Is she mortal, or is she really divine? Who knows? Hunter or hunted, she'll follow her pagan sign. Under the gaze of the gods, the odds she knows. Chill now the wind that blows. A goddess has to beware. The hounds of hell may turn upon the one they worship. Coldly Orion looks
Norma Winston with her lyrics to Goddess from the album Stories Yet to Tell, and that's released on Monday the 30th of August, of course, on the ECM record label. You can hear Norma on October the 17th in concert at the Wiltshire Music Centre, that's in Bradford-on-Avon in Wiltshire. On October the 24th, she's singing at the Cork Festival with the Three Voices Project, and the London Jazz Festival on Wednesday the 17th of November at the Barbican as part of a double bill with the Charles Lloyd Quartet. And my thanks once again to Norma for coming in today. We're now to another unique, sophisticated song stylist who entertained the public for over 65 years, the late, very great Lena Horne, who passed away in May this year, aged 92. She was indeed a legend and a cultural icon who helped to advance the cause of civil rights in the USA and who rightfully received widespread acclaim from her peers and the public. Her first Blue Note album was recorded in 1994 and was called We'll Be Together Again. So from that CD, let's hear this wonderful ballad written by one of my best friends, Richard Rodney Bennett, together with Johnny Mandel. And this is I'll Always Leave the Door a Little Open.
When I was young, the world was full of treasures, and every star was shining just for me. So many prizes, so many pleasures, all those tomorrows still to be. But as the saying goes, time can fly so fast, the bud becomes the rose, and roses never last. But I'll always leave the door a little open. I love to feel the breeze that passes by. Though my dreams are few, unlikely to come true, I'll always leave my heart a little room to fly. I'll always hold the day a little closer. There'll always be another song I want to sing. And so I'll never care if winter's in the air. I know I'll always see a sign of spring. And when I see that sign, will I close the door again? Be alone once more again in my cozy shell. And when I taste the wine, will I drink my fill again? Start to feel that's the only way I know I can survive, believing there's a chance of more than just romance, believing that it's wonderful, it's magical, it's beautiful.
The remarkable Lena Horne singing back in 1994 with her rendition of that beautiful ballad penned by Richard Rodney Bennett and Johnny Mandel called I'll Always Leave the Door a Little Open. Saxophonist Gilad Atzmon and the Orient House Ensemble released a new album in October called The Tide Has Changed, and it celebrates the 10th anniversary of the band's existence. To coincide, Gilad will embark on a mammoth 40-date tour of the UK, and joining him will be Frank Harrison on piano, Yaron Stavi on bass, and their new drummer, Eddie Hick. Always keen to push the boundaries, they've started this track with some radio static and wireless tuning. So please, don't try and adjust your radios. It's all on purpose. Thank you.
this line, my friend. It just can't be.
Former Soft Machine drummer vocalist Robert Wyatt with his interpretation of the Chic classic At Last I Am Free. And that's from Robert's Best Of compilation entitled His Greatest Misses, out on Domino Records. Before that, we heard one of the most inventive jazz musicians from the landscape of the UK's jazz scene. It was Gilad Atzmon from his new CD, The Tide Has Changed. That's out on October the 4th. And that was All the Way to Montenegro. And Gilad has been working with Robert Wyatt on a new album project that will be released next month, and I'll bring you the fruits of that over the next coming weeks. And also interesting to note that the Soft Machine Legacy Band will be performing on September the 3rd at Brighton Jazz Club. Well, that's almost it for this week's Jazz Lineup. Next week, Julian Joseph will be back, and he'll have an interview with the group Phronesis. Radio 3 has plenty more jazz with Jez Nelson on Monday nights at 11:15. This week he features concert sets from US supergroup Fly, with Larry Grenadier on bass, Mark Turner on reeds, and the incredible Jeff Ballard on drums, and a performance by pianist Craig Taborn. But to end, let's hear some George Gershwin, courtesy of the Scottish National Jazz Orchestra, with Brian Kellock on the piano and orchestration by Tommy Smith. They're playing a live version of the classic Rhapsody in Blue. The Scottish National Jazz Orchestra will be playing the entire Rhapsody in Blue Suite at His Majesty Theatre in Aberdeen, that's on September the 17th, and at the Inverness Eden Court on the 18th. We are about to hear an extract, otherwise we'd need about an extra 50 minutes of radio airplay. Well, maybe that wouldn't be such a bad idea after all. Till next week from me, Claire Martin. Bye-bye.
Hello and welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. And first tonight, Verdi's Requiem. Requiem masses exist in plenty, he said. It's useless to add one more to their number. That he did was out of love and admiration for two other Italian artists, Rossini and Alessandro Manzoni. Manzoni was a poet, dramatist and above all nationalist. And when he died in the 1870s, Verdi was so overcome with emotion he said he couldn't bring himself to go to the funeral. Well, a performance of Verdi's Requiem here from the 2009 Clara Festival in Brussels. I'll credit the soloists at the end, but the Swedish Radio Chorus and Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra are conducted by Daniel Harding.
Yeah.